You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Phoebe Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Chelsea Skidmore episode. Chelsea was highly recommended by all of the other comics that have been on the show. My favorite part of her interview is when she talked about coming up in the comedy scene in New York as well as Los Angeles. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoy. Peace.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. This episode is sponsored by Mack Welding. Special guest tonight. Please welcome, for the first time ever on the Stevie Weeby Show, comedian Chelsea Skidmore!
Hi!
Hi! Thanks for coming. Was that...
That was the most incredible podcast intro I've ever seen.
Really?
I'm not even kidding.
You're not just saying... I could tell you're being...
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you like it.
I do like it. Oh, you could tell I'm being genuine.
Yeah, you're being genuine.
Have you had other responses like mine?
Usually people are weirded out by it.
I'm in on the joke.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we start this off with a magic trick?
I never thought you'd ask.
There's three cards laid in front of you.
Appears to be.
Look at them intently.
What are they? Because we can't see.
Okay. There's a blue card, a yellow card, and a red card. You see them, right, Chelsea?
You can't break.
I'm not going to break.
I see them.
I am going to read your mind.
Wow. Okay.
You have to pick one.
I already did.
It's in your brain.
Yeah.
Right now.
Mm-hmm. I didn't want to give you much, so I did it immediately.
Hold up. It's in your brain?
Yeah.
You can't change colors.
No.
It's in your brain. It's either blue, yellow, or red, correct?
Yeah.
Which one is it?
Wait, you gotta get rid of the thing.
Okay.
This is what you think.
This is what I thought, but which one is it?
I want you to guess.
You have to tell me.
I was like excited.
You have to tell me first.
That's not the game.
No, it is. This is how it works.
This is how the trick
works.
It's blue. No.
Flip that one over.
I'm nervous.
You gotta show it to the camera, though.
What the fuck? All right,
good stuff. Okay, anyway, let's talk about your comedy.
How did you do that?
Let's talk about your...
I have a weird...
No, we're going to talk about
How
your comedy
you... No!
Career.
You can't just do that.
You just
then...
got back from D.C. You had a good time out there.
Can I say, this what? Is a... I'm on the Lee tour right now. I just got back with Bobby.
Yeah.
My episode with Kalilah came out today.
Oh,
and now
shout
I'm
out
here
to Kalilah
tonight.
And Bob. Yeah.
And
oh, that's crazy.
I'm on the...
But
right?
Did they do magic?
No, but I have a bit about David Blaine that I did.
Oh, okay. That's great. That's
yeah.
great.
How's my lipstick?
It looks great.
Okay.
You're fine. So where are you originally from?
I'm from New York.
Oh.
Yeah. I grew up in Westchester, which is the suburbs outside of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been? No.
I've been to New York. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not a lot. Probably three times in my whole mm-hmm. life. Yeah, I
what
enjoy
do you think?
It. I think that the pace is a little fast for me.
That's what everyone says who's not from New York. Everyone who's not from there. Are you guys about to do another trick?
No.
I'm
bracing myself.
No, he
for what's
has
next.
Several other card tricks that we'll show you after.
Uh-huh.
That he's on.
My anxiety is rising because I don't know what's coming next.
With that trick?
No, because I just don't know what's next.
Oh, no. That's, I didn't
And
even,
that's that?
I just, that was spontaneous. I just thought of that when I sat down. I'm like, I'm going to start off with the trick. But, The people in New York are, it seems, I don't know, this might be a generalization, but it seems like everyone's like in a hurry, like get out of my way to get to wherever they need to go. Am I wrong?
Totally.
Right?
Yeah. And I had to adjust when I first moved here because I'm a very direct person and I don't sugarcoat things. I've lived here now for 6 years. So I feel like, you know, I've become softer, but my husband still sometimes thinks I'm like a little abrasive.
So is that you're just the New York state of mind?
It's just like I don't think it's a state of mind. It's more just like a personality.
An attitude.
Yeah, it's a fucking attitude.
So what are the differences? What are some New York traits?
Traits.
Yeah.
Well, Theo Vaughn has actually a funny joke that he said he was in New York walking down the street and he said hi to someone and they said no. And I just think that really summarizes the energy of New York.
So he said hi and they go, nope.
And they go, no. Which is
what
just so funny.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
It just basically means like we don't have time for your shit.
They just negated the whole thing. Like, no.
Yeah.
No, I don't
I just
to...
thought, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's so weird.
Yeah.
So when you first moved to Los Angeles, did you notice immediate... difference in attitudes, and what were those?
Everything was so much slower. I thought everyone was really dumb at first.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm the most intelligent person, but everyone just seemed a lot dumber than people in New York. But I think I was kind of just, you know, I think I was maybe like protecting myself, easing in slowly, feeling judgmental. And, you know, since I've lived here, I don't really, like, think everyone's a fucking idiot. But...
Right, right. How did you get into comedy?
I always wanted to do stand-up. I first started with UCB in New York.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, I like UCB.
Yeah. And then I did Groundlings when I moved here. And then I just eventually started focusing on stand-up. But I had always... I first did a mic when I was... When I say I did a mic, I was 18 and there was stand-up going on at a bar I was at and I was drunk and I always wanted to do it.
In LA or New York?
In Philly, actually.
In Philadelphia.
I just happened to be there visiting I was dating at the time.
Oh, it was an open mic?
There was an open mic there and I was like, oh shit, I'm going to go and do something. And I just did like a couple of stupid jokes off the top of my head. But... I had already had like wanted to do stand up and I had always been, it was one of those things, you know, I am sober now. So it was one of those
Me
things.
Me too.
Yeah.
How much time?
Now 3.5 years because I relapsed.
I've relapsed too.
Yeah. I know. It's like,
yeah.
You know, some people, a lot of people relapse. Relapse is a part of being an AA. It's like stupid to think, you know, it's what alcoholics and drug addicts do. But I hate like, I just get hung up on time for some reason. Like, I wish it could be like, but it's been 6 years.
Oh,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Which, like, I don't know why I care, but.
Do
you get like that ever?
Yeah, all the time. And people think that just the cravings go away, but I still think about weed all the time.
Really?
I think about a cold beer all the time. But I just know that if I wasn't sober, then this would not exist. My podcast, I don't think I'd be able to do it.
Totally.
Because it's you have to show up. Mm-hmm. You have to be responsible. And I just, I mean, ask Craig. I mean, we were talking about this. We just got Chipotle earlier in the car. And he was, and I asked, because I've known him for almost 20 years now. And I'm like, hey, do you remember how I was like when I was like not sober? And he was like, you're a whole different person.
Oh, yeah. I'm a completely, yeah, like mm-hmm. 360 degrees completely. How much time do you have?
11 years.
Oh, okay, nice.
But I've had 2 years and went out. I've had other time and I've went out.
Yeah.
So
it just is what it is.
Yeah. And the thing is, it is a daily reprieve for me, although my program is not the best.
Same.
I could really do more, mm-hmm. but just the fact that if I could just make it another day and night without putting mm-hmm. substances in my body, that's a triumph for me.
Yeah.
I think the work starts after that, because there's mm-hmm. like, once you get clean, then you have to figure out, oh, wow, I have to like change. I'm doing therapy as well.
Yeah.
So I see my therapist every Tuesday. So now he knows I'm sober, but now we're talking more about like just my past and my mm-hmm. childhood and trauma, like all that.
Totally. Do you carry a lot of guilt from your past?
Yes.
Me too. What does your therapist say about getting rid of it?
Well, with me, I made a lot of bad choices. I don't know if I want to say them on camera right now.
Yeah, yeah, you don't have to. There's so many. I've never met you before, but you and Bobby have like so many similar,
like what,
mannerisms. It's like, just such a trip. I'm sure everyone says that, right? Just so many things. Like you're laughing the way that you, when we're outside, when you're doing like an act out, it was just like,
it was like yeah. Bob.
Yeah.
It was like Bob.
Yeah. Even like the way that you're doing that, like he does that shit.
Like the way he looks at you. Or people.
It's just like that skeptical, like,
yeah, thing. Yeah.
Well, even it's too much.
It's the same
it's
thing.
Too much. It's
well, we
too
come
much.
From the same parents.
I know.
We have the same genes.
Yeah.
Know?
It's just you guys, right?
Yeah. It's
you
me and Bob. It's just me and Bob. Yeah. Yeah.
Not that that's not enough. Just wondering.
Well, I look up to him a great deal. And, I'm just.
Are you younger?
Yeah.
Okay. By how much?
3 years.
Yeah, I'm 2 years younger than my brother.
Oh,
but cool. Everyone thinks I'm older than him.
Do I look older than Bob?
No, okay, you look younger.
Dude, thank you. Thank God. Okay. So, hold up. Now it's time. I want to get right back into it. Now it's time for our sponsor, Mac Weldon. Now a word from our sponsor, Mac Weldon. Mac Weldon's mission statement is to make sure all your basics and beyond are smartly designed and shopping for them is easy and convenient. Mac Weldon is a premium men's essentials brand that believes in smart design and premium fabrics. My experience was super easy and convenient. I didn't have to go anywhere. All I did was go on their website, pick the stuff I wanted, put it into my cart, and then it just came super fast, and it comes super well packaged and clean. I'll give you an example, because I ordered a grip of these awesome socks, some of the best designs and the most comfortable socks you'll ever wear. Okay, so definitely that's a plus. It's super convenient and easy, and they'll ship it right to wherever you're at. Okay. Mac Weldon will be the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, and undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants that you'll ever wear. I could vouch for that. They have a line of silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial, which means odor eliminating. Okay. They want you to be comfortable, so if you don't like your first pair of underwear, you could keep it. And they will still refund you, no questions asked, okay? So my personal experience, okay? So what I'm wearing right now, I got the Ace sweatpants. These are super comfortable, right? Zip pockets, drawstring. They got the cushion. They got the tailored fit, back ribbed ankle cuffs. Boom, right there, okay? These are super comfortable. You could do any kind of activity in these bad boys. And I also got a grip of them everyday extended crew socks, as you could see. I'm really like picky as far as like the designs of the socks that I'm a big sock guy. And dude, they have, I mean, dude, these are tight. I mean, look at these, right? Super comfortable socks, dopest designs, cushion footbed, extended crew length. You know what I mean? And I also like, look at this shirt I'm wearing. This is the other thing I got. Look at the fit. It's called the Pima Crew Neck T-shirt, okay? I got the green. Look at that. Fits me perfectly. Soft Pima cotton, recovery collar. And that's a thing about me is if I find, like, it's hard to find a T-shirt that fits me well, and this fits me perfectly. And so now all I have to do is just keep ordering the same size, and I know how it fits. And I could just do that. It's convenient. I'm all about just having it convenient and easy, all right? The fabrics are just super soft and comfy, all right? And then another thing is, what can you do in this gear? I mean, you could basically do anything in Mack Welding gear, right? I could go walk to Starbucks, get my cappuccino, get my Americana drinks. I could go hike up Runyon. If I wanted to hit the skate park, I could do that too as well in these pants. Okay, so basically you could do anything and everything with Mack Welding, okay? So I'm going to get to the what you need to know. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter promo code Stevie. I'll put it up there for you, okay? MackWeldon.com and enter promo code Stevie, okay? And also check out their Instagram, instagram.com/MackWeldon. That's what I meant. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you later. Peace. And we're back. Chelsea, what were you going to say? I didn't mean to cut you off.
Damn, what was I going to say?
We're talking about Bob. We're talking about Bob.
I was posing in the camera.
We're talking about Bob.
I know. No, that you guys are just so similar. But now I remember. Do you mind if I jump all over the place?
I do it all the time.
Okay, cool.
Look, there's no format. All I did is write out a thing to say at the end. I have no question. I like to keep it organic.
Great, me too.
Yeah.
So you go to your therapist every single week?
Every Tuesday. So shout out to Dr. Choi.
Hi.
Okay.
For me, I find that it's hard to go to therapy every week because I grew up without my feelings being validated and heard by my parents.
Yeah.
So I just like, it's really hard for me to constantly want to like have something to say to a therapist. I go to therapy. I've been going for a very long time, off and on since I was 15. And
really?
For the full 6 years I've been out here, but I find it very hard to make it a weekly thing.
Why is that?
I don't know. What do you think that is? I think I don't like being vulnerable and like having to get into stuff. I like to just stuff everything, I think.
Yeah, I think of those as jars. Like we put these jars of toxicity and we, if like the more like builds up.
Fuck.
And then this is just the way I look at it.
But, imagery works for me.
Yeah, but going to Dr. Choi, it doesn't get rid of all the jars, but at least I could like give maybe two or three jars out there on the table and like talk about it and get rid of those. But that doesn't mean there's no jars still in here.
Sometimes I don't even have stuff to talk about, although there is so much to talk about.
Yeah.
But then I'm like my husband, he goes to a really good therapist and I really like mine. But like I'll be like, my therapist doesn't do that. Like, I'll get into compare and despair with therapists.
Yeah, you can't compare and despair, especially with that.
Yeah.
Maybe is your therapist a good fit for you? Or maybe there's someone else that might be a better
fit. I think so. I had a therapist that I fired.
You fired a therapist? How does that even work?
So, she was originally my therapist for, like, at least 3 years, probably, or maybe even four. And, like, you know, I would say we've been through so much together.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had like many breakdowns, my relapse, so much around her. And she's walked me through so much. And when I got engaged, I thought my husband should go to her, which you're not supposed to do.
No, it's a conflict of interest.
Yeah.
Because you're disclosing certain information, and then it's a conflict of interest because if your husband or girlfriend like sees the same one, then
yeah, of course, yeah, it's a conflict
of interest.
Yeah, they have
to choose sides and
everything. Totally. Yeah. And basically, long story short, she fucking started choosing his side. She didn't even say it was unprofessional for him to also go. She said she would go if I was okay with it. And my husband has this effect on therapists that they seem to like really like him. It's so strange. Should I be cheating out, by the way?
Oh, no, no, you're fine. No, it's getting it all. It's getting it all. Yeah.
Because I want the camera to really see me when I say that therapists seem to really like my husband. No. Yeah. But yeah, it like he has this effect, I guess, on them. Because yeah, whatever. It's like,
is
the
he
second
a comedian
time.
Also?
He is. Oh, but he's very charming.
Can I give him a shout out?
Yeah. Stephen Randolph.
Shout out to my man, Stephen Randolph. You're always welcome as well on the Stevie Weeby yeah. Show.
Yeah, you'd have fun with him.
Is he
sober too?
Oh, he's
11
sober
years
as well.
Actually.
Same amount.
Yeah.
How did y'all meet?
We met doing stand up, but we were best friends first for 3 years.
Wow.
We met at you've done stand up probably,
oh,
right?
For a brief time.
How long did you do it for?
I was hitting mics. Oh, jeez. When was that, Craig?
5-6 years ago,
but I did it for a couple months, I think 5-6 months, but I went like 4 times a week. I'd go to rock, paper, scissors.
I used
I'd go to
host
Marty's
there.
Yeah, I'd go to Marty's.
Yeah, so
I would go to Echo, the one in Echo Park. I would do the Meltdown Comics, and so, I just wasn't for me.
Totally. And that's cool that you can see that too.
And
not
I didn't
have to continue.
And I didn't want to like do it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah,
it wasn't my passion.
Yeah.
I love comedy. I love watching comedy.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. But doing it is a whole different ball game.
Mm-hmm.
And I just realized, like, I don't know. It just, I didn't have that passion for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we met at Sal's Comedy Hole. Remember that place?
Yeah.
We met. He was, like, hosting a mic there. And I, like, tried to cut the line. And then... later, and then he like said some rude thing to me on stage, and I was like, this fucking asshole. And then he friends me on Facebook later that night.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, he sent me a picture of his dick, but he says that I sent him a naked picture. I don't think so. Whatever, we'll never figure it out. But we ended up becoming friends.
Was it a boner?
I mean, like, I was not impressed when I saw the picture.
But
I love him, but it was like a shitty dick pic.
Well,
he's
what,
gonna get
wait,
so
this
fucking
is interesting.
Mad. I
this
love
is,
you.
Okay, Steven, we love you. But I'm just curious.
I love
I,
his
I've
dick.
Been, I'm,
but some guys.
I have a girlfriend too, so like, you know, this is. But we're just talking about the topic.
Dick
of
pics.
Dick pics.
Well, some guys are so bad.
What's the good angle?
The good angle is the underside, and I hope we all know that.
So it's
the dick, and then the picture from under
underneath.
Here. Are you writing that down? Are you writing that down?
He is writing
this is
it
the
down.
First time I've seen you write the entire fucking
Ren,
episode.
We have to talk. We need a conversation.
Are you writing
Ren,
that down? Let me see what you wrote down.
Ren. No, this is for no. Hey, this is for our clips. No. He's just time stamping.
No,
he's time,
I thought he was making
so,
a note for himself.
No, he's
about
not
the
making.
Under-
we'll talk. We're gonna talk later about that. I don't think it
will
is.
Will you anyways? Now that we're here.
No. But so let's explain what that angle really means. Does that mean the camera is down? So the penis is here and the camera's down there.
Exactly.
Because it gets the whole meat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Gross.
Oh, sorry.
That is gross.
Well, I don't know.
And sometimes there's often a, if I was going to get into like romantic novel terms, a throbbing vein.
Yes. Yeah. No, no. You know what?
There is.
That's a good description.
Look, I used to be a slut. I know this shit.
Hey, we all, like, you know, no one's, we're not saints.
I used to be a stripper too.
We're not saints.
Now that we're here. But not, but I was in that energy field.
Yeah,
where,
it's all good.
Where
I'm not judging
where
you.
I saw so many dick pics that I noticed this.
But I think that that's a good angle because for me, it makes me look bigger than I really
am. Well, that's
am.
Why it's a good angle. It's a big... Because it makes everyone look so much bigger.
It adds 2 or 3 inches.
It's like field of depth. Is that the right phrase?
Yeah.
The field of depth. I knew you'd know.
Yeah. It really...
Like if you put a penny...
Yeah. It really looks like...
It's
wow,
it's
Steve.
Elongating.
Yes.
It
and
is.
It looks like... Wow. Like
the worst angle is the overhead bird's eye view.
Okay,
angle.
So the overall bird's eye view
it's
would
this.
Be...
This is bad.
It would be this.
Not good. Not good.
No.
It always has to be underside.
No.
For some reason, it just does not look as big from that angle.
I just thought of something. Did he send you the pic with his testicles in too?
Oh, that's interesting. I don't think so.
I haven't done it in a long time, but I never got my testicles
In a picture.
Yeah, because if that were the case, no, I have two testicles.
Nah,
but if that were the case, then they would see, oh, his dick's small. Because you'd see how, like, my... Whoever would see the testicles were, like, raisins or something. And
totally.
They would be like, oh, that's...
Yeah.
It was like the magic trick I showed you. It's just
an illusion. Yeah, I don't think the testicles should be in the shot.
Yeah, okay. I was just wondering.
Yeah.
Okay.
But...
this is great, by the way. I didn't think we'd talk about this.
Yeah, I'm over.
Yeah, okay. It's so weird because... You have your dick pic, but then do we guys send for the vagina pic?
Oh, wait. And can I just say one thing really quick?
Okay.
One time a guy sent me a picture of a of like a flaccid dick. And I literally hit him back. Like, he wasn't hard. It was just so lazy. And I hit him back and I was like, dude, are you even hard in that picture?
Was it like...
It was just like sad.
Describe what that means. It's like
It was just like, oh,
it's
that
like
sucks. I don't know.
Like
it was
a sad
just
worm.
Like
a broken worm.
It was just like, meh.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was like a bummer.
Yeah. Has a guy ever sent a pic and then you see like a wart on his penis or like a sore?
No, but
Craig
I was once giving head to a very, very... famous actor.
Don't say his name.
I'm not going to.
We want to protect his anonymity.
I'm not going to. And I was giving him head, and then I noticed something on his dick.
On his testicles or
his... On his dick.
Okay. On his head or the base?
On the base.
On the base.
And I was like, what is that?
What did it... Can you describe what it looked like?
Like a scab. What do you think that is? I mean, it could have been a lesion. I don't have AIDS, but he does. And we'll leave it at that. Or no, maybe HIV, the better one.
So was it...
Was this a bummer?
No. It's interesting. Okay, so a scab, like he cut him... Like
I don't know.
Was it circular? Was it square? Was it a triangle? What
I
want to
say
like?
It was like an... More of a like... And this can't be the clip.
No, this is not going to be the clip. Don't worry about it. This is not the clip. We're not... He's not writing this down. This is not the clip. This is not the clip.
I don't remember. Let's go with that. It was like 6 years ago, like literally first few weeks in LA vibe.
Did you notify him? Hey, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I did. I freaked out.
And then how did he respond?
He was like, it's nothing. And then I was like, I have to go. And then we never talked
again.
Usually
when they say it's nothing, it's something.
Yeah, I freaked out. He had like, what are those like elevator conveyor belt things? What are those things? Dumbbell. Dummy. He had a little one that came up to like his room where he hung out that came up with like a pack of
like
condoms and lube. I'm
like
not
even like a freight
kidding.
Elevator?
No,
like
a legit,
like a dummy waiter.
Yeah,
like
he
a
had
rig
one that had condoms and lube in it. I swear to God, this guy was insane. I'll tell you who it is after.
After you have to tell
oh, of
me.
Course, yeah,
yeah. Because this would be not.
Oh,
good.
I kiss and tell.
This would not be
but
good
not
for
on this
him.
Episode.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, he's alive.
No names.
Okay, let's move on back to your comedy career.
Well, it didn't help. It got me nowhere. Yeah. No.
When did you? I noticed, let's go back to the mics, because
yeah.
You have to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, got to start with mics.
So the mics in LA, they're pretty harsh, aren't they?
I guess so. Mics are, I think, are harsh in general. Some places are more supportive than others. Like, I remember going to a mic at HaHa, and, like, it felt like a show because everyone was engaged and listening and giving you a lot. And I only went to it a couple times. I honestly don't really go to mics anymore.
Oh, because you're at a different tier now.
Yeah.
So it goes mics, then bringer rooms, and then you open.
I never really did bringers that much either. My first show was a bringer show because I did do that whole Pretty Funny Women thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the time, I needed something to keep me accountable and keep me going.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, I was going to like a mic every 2 weeks, and I still had a lot of fear to get over. You know, that like early sobriety fear when you want to do something.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah. And... So I was going to mics here and there. I was so nervous and I just wanted something to keep me going. And then after I like completed that class and that show, like I was set to go, but I mm-hmm. never did a bringer show after that. Okay. Like I invited two people to come see me. The show right. was at Flappers.
Yeah. And then you have to like, sell tickets and stuff.
I just invited two people.
Okay.
But like I never was caught in that again.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but like when I did the open mics, it was so depressing because it was like at 4:30 in the afternoon, you would have to sign
yeah.
this notebook and then you would have to buy something from the coffee shop.
Yeah.
And then when you did your set, like there's just no regular people. It's just other comics like rolling their eyeballs, mm-hmm. like hurry up. It's my, you know?
Yeah. You know what's funny? I didn't really think about this until now, but I think when I was just going to mics in my first year, I think there was so much excitement that I didn't even really notice that.
Oh,
because
you did.
I was just so like, not that I'm one of those people who like, I felt like I came up with friends who, and we all paid attention to each other and like had fun. So like if
So you had a community, you.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Well, it was just like the same people that we would always see, because if I went to a mic now, I would probably bomb because I don't know any of those fucking people.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
They're not caring about, because if I go to like, again, like I really don't really go to them because they are so depressing.
Mm-hmm.
But at first I felt like it wasn't, because it was more like I was so excited to go up. I would maybe like be there with a friend or see someone I knew and we'd watch each other
yeah.
and like shout shit out. You know, it was fun and camaraderie.
Yeah. I never had that, yeah.
And now it's just really depressing.
How does one move it past that tier of your career? Uh-huh. How do you get past the mics?
Well, I got a job working at the Comedy Store.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and I still work there.
Oh, cool.
I've worked there for 5 years.
Uh-huh. So are you cool with Frank?
Yeah, I'm cool with Frank.
Okay, yeah. That was such a great response. You were like, yeah. Shout out to Frank. Yeah, Frank's been on here.
Oh, yeah, cool. Frank's a nice guy. Yeah, I've worked with him for a very long time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're friends. It's just a funny... We just like to dog on each other.
Right,
that's
right.
All that is.
Okay.
Yeah. Like fucking Frank.
Yeah. What's it like? What was it like working for the? What's it like working for the Comedy
Store?
Well,
to be honest, like I feel like such an asshole because I'm really over working there. I've worked there for 5 years. I don't want to work there anymore. But I know I shouldn't say that. I keep saying that on podcasts. But like,
doesn't it help? Like your set? Don't you get sets and stuff that way?
Yeah, I do. I get development spots. I get to go up every Monday at Potluck. But the truth is, I do need a little side cash still. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So I've started going more on weekends a lot more mm-hmm. regularly now
mm-hmm.
and like last year I literally like had such a hard time finding people to let me open for them, and I don't know if it was my energy.
How does that even work? That's my question.
Yeah.
How does one meet someone to go to take, hey, can you take me on the road
yeah.
with you? Like, how does that even work?
So a couple, like, you know, it's not like 3 years ago, maybe 2 years ago, I opened for Anthony Jeselnik at Largo. It was like so much fun. And then he wouldn't let me open for him again.
Why?
Because he said that we are too similar. At the time, I was a lot more like darker than I am now, sort of similar to his style.
Right.
So we just thought that our styles were too similar. Honestly, I did really well. But
see, that's why, because you were a threat.
Well, I think it was just like he said he wanted it to be like light and fun, and like then he comes on
and
it's dark.
Smashes.
But like I can't come on and get all the.
No, because you got to get yours too.
Yeah, because I went on first and I was getting like. I probably had like 6 applause breaks in a 10-minute set because his audience likes that kind of stuff. So I was like,
right.
This is like the so much fun. Like,
yeah.
And then he was like, no, you're not
your,
doing this again.
That was your crowd.
It was so, yes, it was so
oh,
amazing.
Man.
And then I was like, I can't wait to just have my own crowd.
You know
who's
what,
there to see
you know
me,
what you
I
had
really,
to do?
What? Suck his dick?
No, no.
I know, I'm kidding.
No, not that.
I'm kidding.
You had to.
Sorry, I hate that. That was my first thought.
You kind of had to do good, but not too good.
Yeah.
Because I think you brought your A game. If you would have went back and gave your B- game or C+, then he'd be like, okay, you could come again.
I didn't know that that was a thing either.
I'm
but
just
I don't
guessing.
Follow that. I've heard people say stuff like that. Like, yeah. Oh, you can't do too good if you go with that person. But, you know, whatever. And I've done like little things for Pauly before that opening for him. But yeah, then last year I was always like, and I think this kind of goes along with perspective and energy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I did ask people last year and they were always like, no, I have someone. And then I'd be like frustrated. And
who'd you hit up? Like Griffin and Theo Vaughn and Dalia?
Much them. Santino. You know, and I'd done like a weekend before with like Sam Tripoli and stuff, mm-hmm. and like, you know, little things, but it wasn't like a regular thing. Like what I'm experiencing.
Right,
now.
Right, right.
And I remember in the beginning of the year, just being like, I want to change my perspective. Like, I want to stop saying, cause I had that like mindset. And I think this is going to imply.
Like, what do you mean mindset? Like asking?
Well, I'll say.
Okay.
Sorry. I think you can get into a mindset of saying something is so hard. And this applies to anyone with wanting to do anything. Mm-hmm. Saying, it's so hard. This doesn't work out for me. It's so hard. Like, just like a negative thinking. I'm very prone to negative thinking.
Me and, too.
Yeah. It's
one of our traits. Yeah.
And I just something inside me was like, I'm going to switch my perspective. And I'm just going to feel differently about it. And I'm just going to approach it differently and like just have a different energy. I don't know. I just had this weird switch and that's all I can say how I described it as. And actually Bobby was the first one who for some reason I was like, I'm just going to like have really good energy and just be like happy and light.
On stage.
I don't know. When I was asking
people. Oh, just your.
And I don't know.
Your overall
and my
vibe.
And my approach.
Right.
I changed something about my approach. Not that like, I don't know what it was. Or maybe I just got better and now I fucking earned it and it was time.
That could be very well the
I think
what
so
it is too.
But yeah. I want to pretend it's a part of this.
Okay.
Because it sounds magical.
It's like energy frequencies.
Yeah. Which I'm into. Yes. And then I was like, I'm just going to act like positive, you know, and then, you know, I essentially was just like smiling and happy and it just like had a good energy underneath it. And he's like, yeah, come with me. And like now I've opened for Bobby, you know, a number of times. I think I've probably done like, I don't know, maybe like at least 6 weekends.
That's cool.
This year with him or 7. And
how much better is that compared to doing open mics to doing that?
So much better.
I want to know the differences. What are the main differences?
Time.
Money.
Money, time, audience size. Fans.
And exposure,
exactly. So, and also, like, when other people see you opening for people, then other people want you to open for them. And it just spirals into a whole thing.
That's how it works.
Yeah. So, like, for example, me and Steven have opened for Bobby before, twice together. Which
you guys
is really
just
fun.
Did DC together.
We did DC together, and he also took us to San Jose together.
That's cool.
Which is very fun, but someone will see that, and then Eric Griffin brought us to La Jolla. So now Josh Wolf wants to bring us to like places together.
You know what's so cool?
And Joey Diaz, if I can just say one more, is going to take us together. So like, I think people see that and they're like, oh, that's fun. I can bring them both. They'll have fun. I don't have to worry
and they're
about
a couple,
them. Yeah, it's like a fun little
they're
thing.
They're not going to be drinking up a storm.
Yeah.
They're clear headed. They're chill.
If they want to hang out during the day, they got that. I don't have to fly out an opener. There's one hotel room. It's easy.
Oh.
Yeah.
So do you guys come as a package deal?
Not normally.
Oh, okay. No, I just,
yeah, but like sometimes like wait, what do you mean when you say that?
I mean as far as because of them saying like you get 2-for-1 or like
just one hotel room.
Oh no, because you guys are like a couple.
Well, Bobby has let us like split and combine our time, which is cool because instead of doing like 15 and 25, we can combine it and each do 23.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like combine the money and split it or something. But sometimes if I am the feature, I want to keep the amount of money that I make because I think it's important and not split it with him because I think that's important
with
for
Steven.
Me.
Split it with Steven?
Yeah, because that's important to like, you know.
That's fine.
Be like, I'm earning more than you.
Exactly. If you're doing more time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, you know.
So let's break down like white belt to black belt as far as
karate.
Okay, so you're an open micer, and then you are a bringer person, and then you are a feature, and then
opener feature.
You're an opener, then a feature. A feature is what you guys go like open for, like D'Elia or Santino or someone, right? That's the feature.
An opener and a feature are the two comics that go on before a headliner. Okay, so there's three people on a show.
Okay.
The opener does 15.
Opener does 15 minutes.
The feature does 25 or 30.
25?
Generally, 25 or 30.
And then there's the main act.
And then the headliner.
Headliner.
Yeah.
Where does the MC fit in?
Is that so? The opener can sometimes be the host,
the MC, yeah.
Or sometimes the club will have someone, but yeah,
you know, it would be cool if
it's usually just three, right? But I've mostly
do you think there's some poor guy or girl out there that never made it past host,
yeah, and it shows.
And then, dude, that'd be crazy if they did a documentary on someone who just always just stayed at being
called MC,
being the host.
Yeah.
Are there those stories exist?
You know, I haven't heard one, but I'm sure it exists. Yeah.
That'd be depressing.
Yeah. But they're like, man, that's all I need. You know, like, I'm sure they have a good attitude about it.
But how much? Okay. So as far as money, how much does a host get paid? How much does the opener get paid? And how much does the feature get paid?
Well, every club is different and every comic is different. So it's kind of hard to say because they each headliner who's bringing you, like, you know, there's a club rate that's like 50 per show for the opener and 100 per show for the feature, and that's like the across the board club rate.
You think that's fair?
No.
That's kind of ripping him off.
I think so too. And don't a lot of comics up to give more.
At least $200-$300.
Yeah. Bobby gives extra money. A lot of comics give extra money. Give a couple extra hundred.
Is my brother pretty gracious?
I love going with him.
Bobby Reby.
I really do. I have a lot of fun with him. We get along really well. He's so funny. He has amazing stories. He's so entertaining. But you know what's so interesting is, like, he doesn't affect me.
What do you mean by that?
Like, he'll do, you know, he'll tease or
has he farted and thrown it in your face?
No, but my husband does that. Is that a fucking thing?
It's called a fastball.
Oh God. Yeah.
Fastball.
Yeah. He does. My husband does that all the time.
Okay. He cups the fart?
Bobby has not done that to me, thank God.
Yeah.
But he'll, like, you know, he'll, like, fuck with, like, people. Of like course. His own, yeah. But, like, for some reason, or he'll, like, tease me or something. He's gotten better about it because I've told him I don't like it.
Like, give me an example. Like, what has he done to you?
Like, he makes fun of my small mouth. He always says I have a skinny face.
He says stuff like that?
Of course. Tons of shit. Incel face.
What? And then, dude, don't write. What are you doing, man? You taking notes, man?
I'm just finding the game.
Okay. But.
So he'll fuck with me. Small. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like funny thing. You know, it's all good. It's all good fun.
That means he likes you.
Yeah.
Because if he didn't like you, he wouldn't do that.
Yeah. But I don't take it to heart. Mm-hmm. Or like he'll. He's not a difficult person, but, like, he'll do... I can't think of anything specific, but, like, for some reason, I just don't get affected. Like, I take on a lot of stuff from a lot of people, and, like, I'll get really affected by people, but for some reason, he does not affect me emotionally.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I like it,
Do you think
though.
That's maybe the New York in you as well?
No,
because New York people are a little thicker skinned, and you guys could take...
No, because some people, like, if someone gets quiet and, like... And, like, they're doing something, and, like, I'll be like, they hate me, they're mad at me. You know, like, I'll get very much in my head and make something about me or, like, a negative thing.
Oh, you'll come up with the whole story.
Anxious. Exactly.
Yeah.
But for some reason, like, I'm just not affected by anything he does. I don't know why, but I'm not like that with a lot of people.
But you are affected when other comedians do something?
I'll be like, oh, that was weird, they didn't like that. Or, like, I don't know. Or, like... You know how, like, he doesn't answer his text messages, you know?
He doesn't return mine.
But when I'm on the road with him, he does. Which,
oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Oh, because, you know, hey, meet me in the lobby. We're gonna eat at this time.
Yeah, but like, I'm like, oh, that's just who he is. Like, it's all good. Like, I don't have a second thought about it.
Do you guys eat well on the road?
Yeah.
Like when you were with Bob?
And I love eating. I love eating.
Have you eaten with Bob?
Yeah.
What's one thing?
It's so fun.
What's one thing you noticed? And I already know the answer to this.
That he orders everything and eats nothing.
You know him.
Yeah.
He orders the entire menu and then
he'll have one bite.
I know.
We went to a Jose Andre restaurant.
Describe what a Jose Andre restaurant
is. It's like really small plates and it's extremely expensive. Like tons of small plates.
What kind of food is it?
Like tapas. Well, they have a lot of different ones. Out here, they have one at the SLS.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that we went to in DC was like Latin, which was like, no, you know, it was good.
It's delicious.
But like he orders a ton of shit and he didn't eat any of it. He ordered like this soup that was like $16 and literally had one bite.
Yeah, he does that all the time.
And he always wants like he it's
and dessert.
He always didn't want dessert that night.
Okay.
And I was like, huh.
Yeah, he always orders dessert. Always.
Yeah, but he orders so much. But I love that because I like eating a lot of food. And I like the idea that he wants to eat a lot and just taste things.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as food, like, do you think, is New York food better than LA? Like, doesn't New York have better food?
It's
as
different.
Well?
You know, the bagels are better.
Better because the water.
Exactly. The bagels, pizza. The pizza, those are all better there. The Chinese food
is better.
But the Mexican is better here.
Oh, yeah.
Because they can't do Mexican in New York.
Yeah. That's a Cali.
So that's pretty much it.
Are you, so what's next in line for you? Like, are you writing a special or are you working on new material? How does that work? Like, how do you write out and come up with these ideas?
How I come up with ideas is, you know, I used to be really good about sitting down and writing stuff, but now I almost feel like I've thought of everything, even though I haven't, but like, you know, I'm always like, like trying to build out, like I have things in like categories. Mm. So sometimes I'll just sit down and try to like build out on those categories.
Do you write stuff like on, I like doing stuff on like index cards
for what though?
Just any, well, I write songs, but you could write jokes on stuff like this.
No, I don't write jokes. I like writing on my computer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I have notebooks always too, and I write things in my phone when I have thoughts. So like now, like I'll have to like, if I get a thought, I write it down. And sometimes I'll sit down and write on my computer, but it's really just a mix of, you know, like off the fly, like I'm a lot more inspired.
Oh, so while you're on stage, you might come up with something.
Well, yeah, that too, of course. You know, like come up with a tag, but like I'll like have a funny thought while I'm driving.
What's a tag?
Or something. A tag is like an extra joke on the end of a joke.
Okay, I didn't know what that meant. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah.
Now, do you bounce ideas off your husband, Steven, as well?
Yeah, we bounce off each other.
And how does that work? Does that work pretty well? Like how does
Yeah.
And so let's say he came up with a bit and then would he give you a bit or you could give him a bit?
We'll kind of come up with something together and then we'll fight over like who gets to tweet it or like who gets the joke or we'll be like, no, I came up with that. No, I came up with that. Like that kind of thing.
Like rock, paper, scissors?
No, not like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. God, I had another question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did that help?
Of course you want to know about that.
Hey guys, take it easy over there. What are you guys doing here? Oh, did stripping help
being comfortable on stage?
Yeah.
You know what? It probably did, to be honest. It probably did. I was nervous when I first started doing stand up, but it's like the same, I guess. Probably. I still went through the normal anxiety and nervousness of getting used to being on stage and doing stand-up, but I'm sure it helped me. Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I definitely have, like, bits about it and stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Any other stripper questions?
You guys!
I know you
guys
got more.
No, I just thought it'd be interesting to hear how that helped.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Hey, I'm not against it. It just kind of coughed me off. I didn't know what you guys were talking about back there. Oh, okay. Jesus, what do you guys did?
But that also was like when I was 20 to 23. It was a long time ago. You know, it was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
To 13.
Yeah.
Or to 9 to 11.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as when is one ready to put out a comedy? Because I know that's like the golden trophy, so, is to do a comedy special or record or.
Yeah.
Like, how does that, when does that come into play?
You know, for me, I'm not really focused on the special. To me, I really like, honestly, writing a lot more, as in like writing and creating shows and writing movies and stuff, and that's what I spend a lot of my time on.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah,
so you write scripts as well?
Yeah, I do.
Oh,
when yeah, when and that's what I like a lot more, and over the past couple years, and you know, I'm the best at that.
Okay.
I'm a good writer.
Okay, so you how long you been writing since like you're like New York?
Very young age.
Like what kinds of stories do you like science fiction or dramas?
No, neither.
I'm just trying to get off.
You could tell that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Just trying to keep it going. Okay. So you write comedies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I started writing from a really, really young age. I would always write really funny stories and creative writing and like little short stories. And I really liked writing a lot of experience stories, I would call them, or I guess like opinion articles, I guess you could call them.
Yeah.
But I used to like, you know, have a blog when I was younger. And I wrote for like a couple different websites. Before Gavin McInnes was like a crazy alt-right person, and when he used to be a cool Vice person, I used to write for one of his websites.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I used to work for him, actually.
And then how long were you working for him?
I worked for him for a year. I worked at so he used to have a website called Street Boners and TV Carnage. And then a production company called Rooster. Yeah, and I was the production coordinator there.
Cool.
And then I would write for the websites and take pictures for the do's and don'ts, which was something from Vice. I don't know if you're familiar.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan of Vice.
Oh,
yeah
cool. So after he like left there, that's what he did after that.
I'm a big fan of that stuff.
Yeah. And then he wrote this like crazy article about trans people that like, and then that's when things went bad. So that's when he had to pull out of that company. He had to like quit, and then they shut down because their name was kind of smeared from that. And then he just kind of just went off in the deep end.
So it was hard to recover from that.
Yeah. He has not. Yeah. That's what he's in now. So it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
Cause I really liked him at the time, and he was cool.
This
and,
is
like,
in New York or LA?
In New York.
In New York.
You know, I really don't know. And I also really don't follow it because it's such like a bummer again, because like a couple years ago, you know, I did his podcast twice in New York.
What's it called?
The Gavin McInnes
Show. Okay.
I don't know if he still does it.
Yeah.
But he was doing it on like Anthony Cumia's network. So yeah. And it was all good then. And then like, I don't know how much longer after that the alt-right stuff started happening. So then I was like, oh, I'm going to detach from this person. I didn't really ever like talk to him, but just when I would come back in New York, he would see on like Facebook and like hit me up to like come over and like do the podcast or something. So then like he, you know, started like being involved with this whole thing, and I didn't want to talk to him. And then he like tried to get me to do his podcast to talk about like this thing in the news. And it just basically like he was setting me up to look bad. And I was just like, oh, he's become like a really bad person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like such a bummer. And I don't mean to like get into this.
No,
that's
fine.
But I'm just talking it out.
It's okay. Have you thought
maybe
about.
Maybe I should go to therapy. See, these are like the things.
No, you're fine. Yeah. have you thought about maybe publishing a book or stories or something?
This is so funny. I had like all of these really crazy stories that I had taken the time to like write out, like 10 crazy stories from my life.
Yeah.
They're
autobiographical.
I actually called it Things I Should Probably Be Telling My Psychiatrist.
Oh, okay.
And
so they're real stories about your life.
So this person that I met with who now works at CAA, and maybe he did at the time too, actually, he was like, have you ever thought about writing a book? So I like wrote all these like really crazy stories, like going full in. And they're well written.
Are they real?
100% real. Okay. Very well written, very crazy, very interesting. And I just like sent them over to him.
And he's at CAA?
And I think he just like did not know what to do with it.
Was he a rep there at CAA?
I think he was an agent.
Yeah, an agent at CAA.
I can't remember if it was when he first started working there or if it was where he was working at before then.
Well, describe what some of the listeners and viewers might not know. What is CAA?
Creative Artists Agency.
Creative Artists Agency. And what does that imply?
They're like a really big, they're like the number one agency.
So like Tom Hanks is with them, Oprah's probably with them.
I don't know. I mean, they're like the number one. They were the number one, but then a lot of people from there left to join UTA, I think, and WME.
So this is all LA stuff. They're agencies.
This is all insider industry shit.
So they're agencies where they find...
Bobby is with CAA.
Bobby's with CAA. They book work for you. They get you on TV shows.
Yeah,
they
I don't have an agent, though. I just have a manager. And actually, my manager was the casting director for Mad TV who founded Bobby. How weird is that?
That's weird.
A weird connection.
That's weird.
Yeah. And now she's a manager.
So maybe someone who's watching the Stevie Weeby show from CAA will watch this, and then they're going to start repping my girl Chelsea Skidmore.
Yes.
So I'm sure. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I'm putting it out in the universe that someone from CAA is going to watch this and hear this and go, I like her.
I like that.
What are the advantages? You mentioned you're not with an agency, but you have a management.
Uh-huh.
What are the differences and what are the advantages for having one or the other opposed to the other or both?
Honestly, I really couldn't tell you. I mean, my manager, you know, does set me up on auditions, but I think agents send you out on more auditions.
Yeah.
And I think the manager just kind of sets up like meetings and does more like in between stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I don't even fucking know.
But don't you think that the...
Like, she sets up meetings for me and stuff. Like, she got me my lawyer. She's set me up with a bunch of people. She sent my pilot to someone.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So then you don't really need an agent if your management team's doing all that,
I don't
right?
know. I don't know. I do need a literary agent. That's what I want right now. And that's what I need right now because of a project.
So if there's a literary agent watching the Stevie Weeby show at this particular moment, please... Hook her
please
up.
Please rep me.
Yeah, please rep
and
Chelsea
this is not, yeah.
Skidmore. Yes, is I'm this... putting it out. No, I'm really, I'm putting it, this is, I'm putting it out there right now.
Yeah.
In real time.
Yeah.
And this is going to be out in 2 weeks. Yeah. it's already 10 minutes till the hour.
What happens?
Oh, time just flew by. We have 10 minutes left. Time just flew by. You have to come back.
Yeah, it was
and
fun.
Do a part two, part Very three, fine. Part four. So I was, before I lose my train of thought, and we're gonna start doing the shout outs and everything, I think the landscape has changed opposed to like the 80s and the 90s where, because of technology.
Yeah.
And I think you do need it, but I think things are changing where, look, before you would have to hire a photographer to get your headshots or whatever, but now you have your iPhone. And now you could just build your own website. Then you could build this and do that. And you could edit your own, if you're a musician, edit your own music video, put it up yourself on YouTube, monetize your own videos. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's just interesting for me because it's like, well, do you or don't you? But the thing is they have more reach as far as like, I'm sure they could get your thing, your idea on Netflix opposed to you trying to do that on your own or something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's interesting to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are, where, when are you going to go on tour or when are your future shows happening? Because this is the time where we like start plugging your website and your Instagram and your future shows and all that good stuff.
Okay. Mm-hmm. My Instagram is Chelsea Skidmore. My Twitter is Skidmore Chelsea because someone took my fucking name. Please tweet at her.
And can you spell that out? It's
Chelsea Skidmore.
So it's spelled Chelsea like the sea, like the ocean.
Exactly.
Chelsea Skidmore. Skidmore. Right?
Yeah.
I just want to clarify that so when they look you up, they
can
follow
you. And my podcast is The Chelsea Skidmore Show.
Oh, you have a podcast?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Let's.
I said my episode with Kalila came out today.
Okay. That's
come on.
My brain's scattered. I'm sorry. My brain's scattered.
Yeah, I do my podcast at the Comedy Store, and new episodes come out every Wednesday. And yeah, it's available on, you know, podcast app, iTunes, YouTube, whatever.
What's it called?
The Chelsea Skidmore Show.
The Chelsea Skidmore Show.
Correct.
Okay. How many episodes do you have up?
I've been like 80.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I've been doing it for almost 2 years. And then I, the dates in December, I'm going to be with, so I'm told I'm going to be with Josh Wolf on the 5th, 6th, and 7th in Austin.
Okay.
And then
shout out to Texas.
And then I think the 12th, 13th, and 14th in Denver. And then I guess I think I'm going to be with Joey Diaz in January doing some theaters, but I'm also going to be with him in Tempe at the Improv over Valentine's Day.
I used to work there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got fired.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. I used to work. I was a food runner.
I've been fired from every job I've ever had before the Comedy Store. I was a food runner at the
Tempe Improv.
Love it. Is it a good club?
That was the last time I did comedy. I opened up for my brother and I bombed in front of a packed crowd.
Yeah, but is it a good club?
Very good crowd.
Okay, cool.
Club. Yeah, you'll love it.
Great. Yeah. So that's all I have right now. But, you know, things come up very randomly as for my road dates. So,
Did you have a fun time here at the Stevie Weeby Show?
Yes, I did. Okay. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming. We just have some announcements from me. And is there a Little Ray this year? I think there is. I mean, this episode, there is a Little Ray, I think. Yes, there is. Okay, so anyway, we have a Patreon attached to this show. So if you want to help keep this show/podcast alive, go to patreon.com/Stevie Weeby. The new patrons this week are Austin, Marty.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Cooper, Michael Ryan, and Kylie Field. I have music as well at stevieweebybandcamp.com. So shout out, more people this week bought music. So shout out to Gregory Kelly, Mario Texera, Frank Nora, and Jason Borgman. Again, thanks to our sponsor this episode, Mack Weldon. There's a website attached to the show called, it's at www.stevieweebyshow.com. The Instagram is instagram.com/QUANGOU. The Bandcamp is stevieweebybandcamp.com. I'm working on an EP as we speak called Ode to My Pops in homage to my father who had just passed. I'm 3 songs in. So just give me some time. I'm working on it. I'm working hard on it. Some other content we're working on. There's a new puzzle video.
Maybe.
Check that out. Stevie on the Streetie is on my channel. Check that out. Street interviews. There's clips. There's a lot more coming. Stevie's P.O. Box. If you want to get involved with Stevie's P.O. Box, send your packages and possibly puzzles if you want. I don't know. We'll see. 2-1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. Shout out and support Alasco Projects. Necro Electric and Riffin with Griffin and WFE. And what's your podcast called?
The Chelsea Skidmore Show.
And the Chelsea Skidmore Show. You heard it first.
And do you have a YouTube, Instagram?
Chelsea Skidmore.
Everything Chelsea Skidmore. Google it. Type it.
Enter.
Subscribe. Make your pledge. Buy your tickets. Support. Thanks for coming by. Proud of you. Keep staying sober. We'll talk a little bit about that after, about sobriety. With that being said, it's now time for Little Ray's World. Welcome to Little Ray's World Show. All I gotta say is kids' minds must grow.
I got abducted by some aliens and dropped in snow. Whoa. Stuck into a world that I do not know. So join me in adventures now. And I promise not to have a cow. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey, hey. So welcome to my world. To all the boys and girls.
Welcome to Little Ray's world. Hee-haw!
What the hell do we got here this week, Beep? Looks like a god dang cigarette, man. Hello? Let me see if I heard this correctly. Your name was Zet. You used to smoke 5 packs of smokes a day. And how did you die? Well, you died of lung cancer, didn't you? Well, what else is there to your story, man? What the hell did you just tell me, partner? You used to torture your pet dog, and you made your dog smoke cigarettes, man? You're lucky I don't have my gun on me, partner. I'd shoot you dead right now. You better start walking away right now, but before you start walking away, I don't want to ever see you again. Me and Beep wrote a song about you, and it goes like this. This one's about Zet the Cigarette Kid, so listen up, don't smoke. Give me a piece of nicorette instead of cigarette bit. I used to smoke the Marlboro Reds, kept right near my bed. Don't let the smokes get all up in your body. Check your daily dose of what you puff. Lung cancer's how's it died in the sunset. I'm glad that we never met. He used to smoke 5 packs a day. That's something that he regrets. Don't forget what he had done to his dog. That's right, his pet forcing cancer sticks down the poor dog's throat. You're lucky I don't have my gun, oh Lord. If I had my shit, I'd pull this bluff. This ain't no damn joke. Set your ass would get broke. You better walk away, Beep will get you in a choke. Set the cigarette, man, you better be ghost. Set the cigarette, man, you better be ghost. Set the cigarette, man. Join us in about 2 weeks for another episode of Little Ray's World, man. And make sure you go to www.stevieweebyshow.com and check out some of that cool merch. Let's get her done.